Well, we have begun a study on the greatest study we can ever study in God's Word, and that's getting to know God. We're going to study through the different attributes of God, and we're asking the Lord to take these different attributes that He has revealed to us from His Word and to continue to help us grow to know who He is, that we might walk with Him in deeper intimacy, that we might trust Him with deeper faith, that we might be able to continue to worship Him more and more rightly before His throne. As we gather together on the Lord's Day and as we meet with Him each day, that's what a study of the attributes of God would do for us. It enriches our spiritual life. In fact, we'll spend all eternity getting to know God, and we still won't come close because He's that great, that awesome, that wonderful. Each week as we study, we're going to go through a lot of different verses. And I will print those on a handout every week. At least that's my intention. And so that you can go back, and what I would encourage you to do is go back either that day, today, this afternoon, or during the week. Spend time meditating on that particular attribute or two. We might cover two like today. And study those scriptures. Meditate on it. Ask God to take that deeper and do a little more study on them. You can cross-reference. You can do your own Bible study on that. Also, another thing I mentioned last week, there are some great books, and I'll quote from them each week. There's some great books on the attributes of God, and I mentioned a few of them last week for those who were wrestling with daylight savings time or out of town. Then I'll go ahead and tell you what those books are. And one of them, and every one of these books, as I shared last week, have impacted my life personally. And one is The Attributes of God and by A.W. Pink. And it's just a powerful, great book on who God is and studying His attributes. And I'll refer to this a lot. This is really the first book I read on the attributes of God that took me, and I've read it over and over. It's fantastic. Another great book I mentioned last week that you'll hear me quote from a lot today is the A.W. Pink book on the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of the holy. And I printed these on that on your sheet there for you on the bottom. Another one is The God You Can Know. And this is a good Knowing God 101 book of just getting to know Him personally. And I'd recommend it. And then a 301, 401 deep study of who God is Knowing God by J.I. Packer. But those are some good books. And so as I encourage you to invest time in this study, pick up one of those books. You know, you can, someone told me, yeah, there we go. Jim told me that he was able actually to find a couple of these online that you could just download free, right, Jim? Yeah, in PDF format. So that's a good option. And if you want to know more about that, see Jim, because I hadn't done that. That would be great. So invest in the study. Let's together get to know God. Let's seek His face, and let's take these attributes and ask God to take us deeper by His Spirit and by His Word and into this study of knowing God. We know our God is an awesome God. Our God is far beyond our comprehension, which we're going to study today. Our God is like none other. He's self-existent. We're going to study that today. Nehemiah 1:5 says this, Nehemiah said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And the psalmist says, awesome is God. From His sanctuary, the God of Israel, He is the one who gives power and strength to His people. Blessed be God. Our God is awesome. He is, as we get to know Him more and more, we will have more awe of Him. It will bring us to great humility. It'll bring us to places of great awe. We will do as we studied with Moses last week and even today. We'll fall off our feet and fall down on our face often and before Him in our hearts, in our lives, and also even practically and personally. We will, when we really understand the greatness, the awesomeness of God, then we will be awestruck because He is an awesome God. It's amazing, though, to me, that our God, being so incomprehensible, so awesome, self-existent, almighty, all-powerful. You know, you can look at the back of your sheet. It has all these attributes. All of those at the same time for all eternity. How incredible God is that He'd want to know you and me personally. Isn't that amazing? That He does not need us. He doesn't need anything. He's all sufficient in Himself. Yet, He loves us so much that He wants us to know Him. Therefore, He did the unthinkable. He sent His one and only Son to come and to die on the cross for you and for me, that we might know Him personally. And anyone, He says, that will come to Him through Christ alone, because He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Anybody who comes to Him through Christ alone has a personal relationship with God. When they personally surrender and trust their life to Jesus Christ, God Himself, the Son of God. When we do that, we know God personally. And that is the only way to know God personally. And as we study through these unbelievable, great insights and attributes of God, we need to make sure, my heart is to make sure you understand the awesome God has made Himself personally for you and for me to know Him in a personal way, that we might engage in knowing Him for all eternity through worship and praise, and that personal relationship will grow. But that's what we need. God is huge, incomprehensible, yet He's personal, and He's made a way for you and me to know Him, not fully, but to know Him personally. And that's so important as we dive into this study. He desires for us to know Him. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offering." It's God's desire that we know Him personally, but that we know Him rightly, that we know who He is rightly by His Scripture, by His Word, not by any of our own thinking or by man's words, but that we would know Him rightly. He wants us to know Him personally and rightly. He desires that, and He delights in that. The verse that we read last week was Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. And in these things I delight, declares the Lord." The Lord delights in who He is, in His steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. He also delights that you would know Him. That's His desire, and that's His delight, that you and I would know Him personally, and that we would know Him rightly, that we might enter into a life of worship, a life of peace that He says passes all understanding, a life that is unimaginable before man on this earth. And I know many of you, I don't know all of you, but I know many of you have a rich, rich walk with the Lord. And as I'm saying these things, your heart's saying, amen, amen, amen. I get that. But it's so true. God delights and He desires for us to know Him. That's the greatest treasure that we could ever have on this earth and for all eternity. That's why it says, don't boast in riches. Don't boast in what you know. Don't boast in all these things. Boast that you know me. Because it's the greatest treasure that we could ever have. It's eternal. To know Him is eternal. And He says, that's what I desire. And He desires that we would know Him rightly and truly. That we'd know Him rightly and truly. A quote from A.W. Tozer in that book, Knowledge of the Holy, says this, that our idea of God corresponds as nearly as possible to the true being of God is of immense importance to us. I believe there is scarcely an error in doctrine or a failure in applying Christian ethics that cannot be traced, finally, to imperfect and ignoble thoughts about God. The man who comes to a right belief about God is relieved of 10,000 temporal problems. How about that? And I believe, look, I shared a couple things last week. I found that's true. I may have reached 10,000, okay? I feel like I have, of temporal problems or issues in my life or things. You know, I've come to times where I've been devastated by life. I've come to times where things have hit me that I believe I just can't handle this. I've come to times where I've felt like I can't do this. And then God says, no, but I can. Trust me. Look at who I am. Know me. Know who I am. Trust me. Step out in who I am. And that's what this scripture is saying. That we would know who He is takes us where God wants us to go. It moves us into a personal relationship of worship and walking with God Almighty here. He wants us to have that here and not wait until we're with Him in heaven. He wants us to experience all the greatness of who He is at some level here, and we will continue, and we'll see Him rightly then, but we will continue to do that. He wants us to not, as we battle the struggles in life today, as we wrestle with decisions, He wants us to know Him rightly, because the many wrong decisions we make are based on the wrong knowledge of God. It really is. As we stop when we have a decision and we meditate just on who God is and what He's told us in His Word, that clarifies the majority of all our decisions for us. We may not want to do that. We may not want to think that. We may not want to act that way. But it clarifies the right decisions in our life when we know Him rightly and know His Word. Our fight to walk by faith. Anybody fight to walk by faith? We all do, don't we? Our fight to walk by faith is strengthened and we have strength and courage, and we have direction on how to walk by faith when we know God as who He really is. And when we're wrestling in those moments that we feel like we can't get out of, when we don't know what to think, when we feel we can't do anything else, that's when we run to God. That's when we go to His Word. Read the Psalms. Read through the Scripture. Satan will tell you not to read it. I told you that last week, because he does it to me and does it to all of us. He'll tell you, no, you don't have enough energy for that. He's lying. Go to God. Go to His Word. Meditate on who He is, and He will give us the strength to walk by faith and not by sight. Our God is great. He's mighty. He's awesome. And He's incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend all of who He is. It doesn't mean that we can't know Him, because we already know. He tells us, come and know me. Be still and know that I'm God. Seek me. He desires it. He wants us to know Him. But yet, He's incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend the greatness of God. We can't even touch the glory of Him. We can't even, when we, see Him, or when we think of Him, and as our understanding grows through our life, we barely scratch the surface of His glory. He's far beyond what we can comprehend, far beyond what we can act or think. He's beyond our greatest imagination. He's beyond our greatest dream. Anything, everything that we could take, if we just sat for 1,000 years and we tried to think of how awesome God is, we would not come close. He's that great. He's incomprehensible. He's unknowable in the sense of knowing all about Him, but He's knowable in the sense of that He's revealed Himself to us by His Word. He's revealed Himself to us through Jesus Christ, and He wants us to know Him that way, but we have to understand that He's like none other. And that we have to understand that we have an issue. Our issue is we can only comprehend the things that we've experienced, the things we've seen, and the things that we've heard or been taught. That's all we can really comprehend as we put those together. But God is far more than that. In fact, He's far more. He's like none other. He's not like anything we know. He's just not. A.W. Tozer said this again in that same chapter on the incomprehensible, or God is incomprehensible, or the incomprehensibleness of God. And he said this: to think of creature and creator as alike in essential being is to rob God of most of His attributes. and reduce him to the status of the creature. We have to understand that God is far beyond anything we can imagine. He's incomprehensible. Our God, we cannot make our God small. We cannot make our God a God that can be fully comprehended. We have to know that God is who He is, that He is like none other. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you, O God, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Nobody. That's the obvious answer. Nobody is like you, O God. Isaiah 40:15-18 says, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust of scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, and nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before Him. They are accountable by Him as less than nothing in emptiness." Did you get that? You know, all the nations and everything, and, you know, all these great things we think of, they are accountable by Him as less than nothing in emptiness. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with Him?" It's so important that we see God is like no other, that He is like no other. He alone is God. And as we seek Him and as we get to know Him, we find the joy and the beauty in this. Let's always remember how immense, how great, and He's like none other, and that He's unable to be fully understood. He's unable to be fully understood. Job 11 says, verse 7 and following says, "Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know?" God is unable to be fully understood. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's telling us here in this passage, look, you think this way and you have these ways and you're thinking about ways, but remember this, my ways are far higher than yours. My thoughts are far higher than your thoughts, and that you will never fully understand me. You'll never fully understand all there is to know about me. You'll never fully understand my ways. We have to trust in a God that we cannot understand all His ways. Do you want a God that you understand and know totally everything about Him? No. What faith would that bring? Very little. But our faith is in a God who we cannot fully understand His ways, yet we know they're right and true and just and holy because He's God. And we can't fully understand His thoughts, but yet He's given us His Word that we might understand just what He wants us to. And we meditate on it and we study it as He teaches us about who He is. God is incomprehensible. Our minds cannot comprehend Him because our minds are finite and He is infinite. He's like none other, and He's unable to be fully understood. He's God Almighty. He's the self-existent God. God had no beginning. God has no end. He is God Almighty. He had no beginning, no end. He's eternal God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the great I Am. Isaiah 40:25-28 say this, "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like Him, says the Holy One." Let me back up. You can think through that with me and listen. Isaiah 40:25, "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like Him?" Again, there's no comparison. "Says the Holy One. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Louis Burkhoff, and a great theologian who's written great, amazing books. And one's a systematic theology book. If you want a little light reading, pick it up. It's amazing, especially his section on who God is. If you really want a deep study, I would suggest that. But go to the library and read it if you'd like. But Louis Burkhoff says this: God has the ground of his existence in himself. Sometimes I had to just take one of his sentences and just go, man, that took him probably 15 minutes. It's going to take me 5 years to understand it, okay? So, you know, but God has the ground of his existence in himself. God is the uncaused, who exists by the necessity of his own being. God is independent in all things, in his being, and in all his attributes, virtues, decrees, works, and in all things. Our God is self-existence. He is, he has no beginning. He has no end. A.W. Tozer again says this: God has no origin, said Novatian, and it is precisely this concept of no origin which distinguishes that which is God from whatever is not God. Aside from God, nothing is self-caused. God has no origin. God is God. God is self-existent. He has always been. He always will be. He's the everlasting God. He has no beginning, no end. God is God. Let's kind of go through and let's study now in Exodus 3. I told you last week we're going to pull a few things out and look at Moses and his life. And Exodus 3, this is, as you probably already jumped to, this is, yes, when he's in Midian and he's watching over Jethro, his father-in-law's flock, and he's out there in the field, and all of a sudden, behold, he sees this bush burning, and the bush continues to burn, and he goes, I got to go see what this is. And he gets there, and God speaks to him from the burning bush, and God's going to call him to deliver his people, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt. So that's where we are here in Exodus. Let's pick up at verse 4 and just read a few verses and meditate on. We're going to hone in and meditate in this passage on who God says he is. Okay, so let's start with verse 4, though, to get there. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, that's talking about Moses, turned aside to see the burning bush, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And then Moses, he said, here I am. Then God said to him, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Side note, wherever the holy God is holy ground. Just remember that. It's another whole talk. And then the next verse. And he, God said, I am. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So the first thing he does, he identifies himself and says, I am. Not that I was, or he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses' response, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So God's revealing himself, and we're walking through this, and he goes on in the next couple verses, and he tells Moses he's going to use him to deliver the children of Israel. He even tells him, it's going to happen, and I'm going to be with you. The reason you're going to do it, I'm going to use you. You're going to go and be the leader, but I'm going to do it through you. And in this whole passage, he said, it's going to happen. You know, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. But then the dialogue goes on here. The story goes on. Let's pick up in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the Lord of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the children of Israel, the people of Israel, the Lord. Now this word, the Lord, is the great word Yahweh, the God Almighty, the self-existent one, the God who is all creator, the all-powerful God. All the names of God are wrapped up, and all the attributes of God are wrapped up in this one, the Lord, this one name of God that he just proclaimed to Moses. And as we see, he proclaimed it to you and me. For say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I will be remembered throughout all generation. This is my name forever. Yes, yeah. First time he revealed himself as Yahweh. This is my name forever. And this is what you will be known. This is what I will be known for all generations. Therefore, we cannot start a study on the attributes of God and not go to one of the essence of that, of being the God self-existent, the great God, the great I am, who he is, Yahweh, which we get our word Jehovah God from. It is his name forever and ever. He is self-existent, no beginning, no end. He's God. That blows our mind, doesn't it? We just sit there, and we should. We should ponder that God is God, and he has no beginning, no end. He's the eternal, everlasting Father, the great I am. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this, said this. A name that denotes, this is him speaking of that one verse in Yahweh. He says, a name that denotes what he is in himself. I am that I am. This explains his name Jehovah and signifies that he is self-existent. He has his being of himself. He has no dependence upon any other. The greatest and the best man in the world must say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But God says, absolutely. It is more than any creature, man or angel can say. I am that I am. Being self-existent, he cannot but be self-sufficient and therefore all-sufficient and the inexhaustible fountain of being and bliss. That he is eternal and unchangeable and always the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will be what he will be and what he is. He's the great I am. He'll never change. He always is and always will be the self-existent, all-powerful, almighty God. We got a couple minutes. I'm just going to stop there because it's amazing and so much. But when you hear just these two attributes of God, what are your thoughts? What's going on in you right now? What can you not wait to tell your spouse? You know, or what is it that's going on right now? Or your friend? You know, what is it right now?
And his thoughts are higher, and our thoughts, his plans are higher, greater than our plans. And it just comforts us that he will work all things for his glory and our good. And we'll know that from heaven. That's the greatest comfort. If we can't take comfort in that, then we can't make it. It's like if we're rational.
Amen. Someone else? What's going through your mind? What are you thinking?
That God knows what's going through every one of our minds right now. Every situation. Every number. I can't fathom that. I can't understand it. I'm just trying to handle my own life, And he cares. That's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy, were you going to say something?
I'm amazed that God, he does not need us. Or God is complete with himself. He would love us personally. If God himself come to earth and spit on by his creation, he would have sacrifice for people who run. you go down that path.
Hmm.
He who knew no sin became sin. So far, the opposite of his character.
Hmm. Amen.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. You know, thank you for saying that as you're speaking it. I mean, probably all of you, when somebody shares something, it just keeps your, this is why this is such a, right when you said that, I just thought, knowing the depth of, as we grow in knowing the depth of who God is, it makes the gospel so much sweeter. That's what, you know, thank you. That's very good. Thank you for doing that, sharing that. Somebody else. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Heard somebody over here. Yeah, the fact that God says he's unsearchable, unknowable, when we take all that and we take all that and we put it in into all that we know of Scripture, then yes. And that I remember the first several times someone made that statement to me and I studied it and thought through it. Yes. Because God, even when we see him in heaven, and even when we're worshiping him, the fact that he's told us that he is incomprehensible, he is unable to be comprehended, and his ways and his thoughts are far beyond ours, and it's unsearchable, we will know him far more than we do now, and we'll have a lot of answers to all the questions we have now, but we still will not fully know all of who he is. So all the teachers I've studied under has taught that, and I've studied through myself, and you know, that I believe it's true. Does anybody believe it's not?
I was actually reading this morning, yeah, in the A.W. Tozer book about the first attribute that he goes over is God's infinity, his infinite nature, and he alludes to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow in our knowledge of him and we see him face to face, we'll never end.
Mm-hmm.
It'll always be
mm-hmm.
a new growth.
Yeah, and I think because we are finite, we're created. All mankind is created, and he's infinite. And all of his attributes, or every one of his attributes at the same time, are infinite and eternal and had no beginning or end. In all eternity, we will be still getting to know him. That's so good question. Something to ponder. Definitely something to study. All right. Somebody else have something you want to say?
Along that line, just to think of Christ saying, you know, and the Father saying, you know, the Son saying, you know,
Now you're bringing up a really good theological question. How did Jesus do that, being all God, and somehow set aside some of that? Boy, that's a good question. But that, you know, that's, I got you. We won't go into that one today. But that makes him incomprehensible. I don't know how he did it, honestly. But he did it. But I don't know how he did that. Yeah.
It's one thing, as some people that I'm sharing with and praying for their salvation, who would consider themselves Christians, I think one of the biggest things in their lives is that they have tried to change God's image into what they can understand and what seems fair to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a stumbling block.
Yeah. You know? That's a good point. Thank you for sharing that. And we just can't do it.
Yeah, we can't.
No, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. Well, thanks for the sharing time. Our time's up, and hopefully we'll have more of this as we go on. But I also encourage you to share with one another, have coffee together, ponder these things, talk through these things. Let's seek the Lord God. This week, I encourage you to take these two attributes and go and just study them and look in the scripture and read about them. You can do a search online at you know, some good search places on these attributes if you know, and look it up and study through that for yourself. I want to encourage you to do that. And this week, I would encourage you to ask God to take these truths and to help you understand them, to enrich your worship of Him, to move you to worship Him even more rightly each and every day. We will be doing that more and more rightly all through our life. And secondly, just asking Him, take these truths and help me walk by faith in who You are, in just Your immensity, in all of who You are. Help me to walk by faith and stand on who You truly are, not who I think You are or who, you know, others say You are, but who You really are. And show me how to do that this week. Show me how to do that this week. Let's pray. Father, thank You for who You are. You are incomprehensible. Father, You are far beyond our greatest imagination and greatest dream. We can't even come close because of who You are. You are God. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are the great I Am. You had no beginning. You had no end. You are self-existent. And Father, we come and we worship You now. We worship You. You are the awesome God. You are amazing. You are unbelievable, almighty. And also, we thank You that You're loving and kind and merciful, and that You did give us a way to know You personally through Your Son, Jesus, and then to know You more deeply through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. We pray this week that You enrich our relationship with You as we study Your scripture and ponder the truth of Your word. In Christ's name, amen.